I am very, very thankful to the Lord for all that He did in my life during the retreat. And when I got there on Monday evening, I was in a place where I knew that I really needed God to touch my life. So as I came into the meeting, I just decided I'm going to block everything out, forget everything else, and I'm going to just kneel here and I'm going to pray with all my heart. And that's a pretty obvious thing to decide at that point. But I just had to really have God. And there was a desperation, and God was there to minister to me. And there was a singing in the Spirit that was going on, and I was letting that help me and to minister to me. And then there was a change of songs, and I sat up for a while, and I just sang, and just kept everything blocked out. And what was going on was this, and this is a very important thing as far as my own life, and I know it's very important to you as well. I was really coming to grips in a further way than ever before in my life with God's love for me. And I know inside that God loves me, but it had to be deeper. The attacks of the enemy had intensified over the weeks, and I was really being challenged by the devil. And I had to really decide to accept God's love. And it was a very conscious thing. It was a very real thing. And it was very, very important. And so as I was accepting His love for me, then as the tenor of the meeting was changing and becoming more of a worship and a praise, that decision to accept His love allowed me to move into that. Because if God... me, then I couldn't move into that. I'd have to be introspective. I'd have to face those demons of condemnation or those demons of discouragement, and I'd have to start accepting their lives. And to do that would be total disaster. And I was having to deal with various things and look at various things in my life. And I just couldn't accept that alternate. I could not accept that. I had to take this. And so then the meeting kept progressing, and I was standing up, and I was clapping, and I was moving around. And then Earl Thurner came around, and I went down to the floor there where the other elders were, and I wasn't really fully dancing or anything like that, and I wasn't concerned about that. That was not a concern to me in the slightest. My only concern was to really keep accepting that love and just forget what I wanted done or what I thought needed to be done or what I needed to feel or what I needed to experience, and just turn to Him and just really turn my heart to Him, allow His love just to be there, even though I wasn't really feeling a whole lot, but I just determined to accept that love and to just keep doing what was basically going on, just to keep entered right into it, not to be detached from it. So I was down there on the floor, and I was moving around a bit, and there was a peace, and there was a relaxation, and it was very, very significant to me, and in it, the enemy that had really been battling me was pushed back. And he was not able to come in and lie in that oppressive way that he's been able to do. I've let him in far too many times. But in this place of accepting God's love, he couldn't come in. And it was setting me up for the very next meeting. So when I got up the next morning and headed for the meeting, again, I just felt, I've just got to pray. I've just got to really pray. Just got to really seek the Lord. I felt real good about the meeting before. And as I was kneeling there and praying, Don got up at the mic and he just said, We're going to pray for different people this morning. If you feel to go pray for somebody, you just go ahead and go do that. And I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know if people were going to come pray for me or what really was going to take place. And I wasn't real concerned as to what was going to go on. I just knew that God was going to do something. And Lanny came right over. And I have wanted Lanny to be my friend for so long. I need friendship. I really do. I need it desperately. And you do. Every one of you. And I've never really had in my life any real close friends. A lot of acquaintances and just all the superficial things like most of you have had. That's all I've ever had. And I've wanted Lanny to be my friend, and he's felt the same way to me. But the enemy has come in various ways, and there'd be these blocks and certain misunderstandings, and just certain situations have been to the devil's advantage, and so it hasn't really come to pass. But he grabbed me. He just formed his body to mine. He just told me how much he loved me, and he said, "I'm not going to let go of you. We're not going to let you go. I want to be your friend. I love you." Oh, that was tremendous. That was a tremendous thing. And then immediately other people started to come over and pray. And I just wanted God so much. And I appreciated all the people that were coming to pray. And I want you to understand what I'm saying in the vein I'm saying it. And as they all started to come and pray, I panicked just a little bit. Because I was so concerned that the right people would come and pray for me. I knew these people loved me, but if they were just there kind of out of their own love for me, I knew that wasn't going to get me where I needed to be. I really needed to have God come, and just like Nikki has felt at times, where people haven't really been able to minister to him, maybe because they have him on a certain kind of a pedestal or something. And then when Judy came, she just barged right in with Holy Ghost boldness, forgot everything else, and just said, "This man has needs, and I know what he needs, and that's it." And she was the right person at that time. Well, that's exactly how I felt. And I said to the Lord, I said, "Lord, I need the right people. You know I need the right people." And I didn't have anybody in mind. I did not have one person in mind. And then I heard somebody praying, and I couldn't figure out who it was at first. And then I can't tell you how much I love my pastor and his wife. Oh, I love them so much. And I don't want to in any way elevate them wrongly. But when it was Barbara praying, I just felt, "Oh, thank you." I knew God would be there. I just knew it. I just knew that God would be able to do what needed to be done. And I really didn't know what needed to be done. I didn't really know where I was exactly and what needed to be accomplished. And she just started to pray, and she was seeing by the Spirit my real heart. And she was seeing my love for Jesus. And the devil has put a lot of roadblocks in that and has caused a lot of confusion. And she saw that love that I really had for Jesus. That was ministering to me. And then she saw my heart for my wife. And she saw that I really loved my wife. Oh, that was good. And she saw my love for my children. Oh, it was really precious. And, you know, the things that I've known, but under the attacks of the enemy, sometimes you just don't know things anymore. It's real hard to keep a hold of them at times.
That's right. I saw him as a great big capacity here. And the other elders retreat a couple years ago, I saw how the Lord had taken a special tool and taken, cleaned Earl all out. It was a marvelous thing that the Lord did, and God lined him with leather. But here he was, this great, big, huge, leather-lined, empty vessel. But this time, the Lord had filled that whole capacity with love. Oh, the love in that man. The love in that man is going to come out, and you're going to be bathed in that love. I saw the tremendous love he has for you, his students. Oh, he loves you, students. Every single one of you that have ever had Earl for your teacher, he has love for you. His love abounds for you. His love abounds for this body. His love abounds for his wife. His love abounds for his children. He would lay down his life for any of those I mentioned. He would in a moment. Oh, that man is so full of love. God has filled him and filled him and filled him with love. In these last 2 years, the enemy has been there to thwart it and to try to keep him from being able to see it. But I tell you, that man is full of the love of God.
Hallelujah. So as she continued to pray, I started to feel my love for each one of the elders. And it was overwhelming how my love had been blocked, and I just kept feeling more and more that, yes, I'm going to be able to love these people. And I thought about Earl Thurner and how God had given him a love for me, and he'd expressed it many, many times, and I'd really never been able to express love back to him. And I just felt, yes, and I'm going to be able to love him. And I felt Lanny, and I felt George Alberts and Mike Sabern and Mark Yokers and each one. And as I was aware that this love was really there, and I was going to be able to love them, I just kept weeping and weeping and weeping with each one. And then Barbara was praying, as best as I can remember, that she, and meaning the Lord and the pastor and the church government, they trusted my heart. And they really trusted my heart. And, you know, I really wanted to minister, and it's something that from the moment I was saved, I knew that God had called me, and I knew that I was going to minister. I just knew it. It was in my heart. God immediately put it there, and I've ministered here, and I've been faithful in the ministry, but I've had many battles and stumblings and failings, and at times I would see those as myself, as who I am, and so the devil would distort, of course, who I really am and what God has done in me and what he's made me into. And then for her to express that trust of my heart meant they really knew who I was. They knew who I was as far as a new creation and washed by the blood of Christ and these other things. They were not really me. It was where the enemy had taken advantage of me. And it just soothed my heart so much. And then, and I don't know the order of all these things, but the next thing that I remember is that she saw the demonic battles I'd had. And she saw that there'd been just a real onslaught to the devil. And she saw the demons bloodied. She saw them defeated. And she saw that I'd won. And she prayed that there'd be no scars left in those battles. And it was so good for me to know in my mind and heart that my pastor's wife, therefore my pastor, would know that a lot of these things where I'd stumbled is because of the attacks of the enemy. And again, they wouldn't blame me. And I knew they never had. And I knew they'd never felt any blame toward me for this. where I'd stumbled or where I'd had weakness. But it was just, again, so comforting. And there are other things, I think, that were prayed, and I don't remember any of them right offhand, but these were the things that really were so significant to me. And after they were done, I got up and I just hugged Lanny and told him how much I loved him, and he told me how much he loved me and how much we wanted one another to be friends. And then a little bit later, Barbara walked up and I hugged her and told her how much I loved her, and she told me that she was proud of me. And again, that just struck my heart that she really had seen all the battles and the difficulties, and you know, that I, in overall sense, I'd done well, and she was proud of me, and that again just touched my heart. And so then, when I was able to minister to Nikki, because of what God had done in me in this respect, I could feel that same thing of being so proud of Nikki, and just so appreciative of his heart and his ministry and all that God has been able to accomplish through him. And I know that this is exactly how God feels to each one of you. He feels this same way. And this is not something that God has just done in us and somehow you're going to be left out. He is not going to in any way leave you out. Jesus is proud of you. And we're proud of you. You're in the boat. You're making decisions. You are praying. You are seeking God. And the fact that you're not doing it as much as you know you need to, as much as you want, is totally beside the point. It really doesn't have anything to do with the issue. So that was, to say the very least, extremely significant. And I was really ministered to. And then each of the meetings just continued on, and I just felt such a love. I felt such a love for Jamie, and I was able to tell people I loved him. I told Mark Yokers and Jen how much I loved them, and it was just such a tremendous freedom to be able to do that. And as far as the dancing goes in my own life, when it came to Wednesday evening, I had been still moving around, and I just felt so relaxed. I felt so accepted. I knew I was accepted by Jesus, and I knew I was accepted by my peers. I knew I was accepted. I knew they accepted me. And again, it was just such a comfort to really know this, have it just so real and so clear. And again, it's something we all need. We need to know we're accepted. We're really accepted. And, you know, I would think of different things. And, you know, it's one thing to know that Jesus loves you and that people love you with the love of Jesus. But to know that they, the person, loves you, and not just with the love of Jesus, of course, that's intertwined in it, but they really love you. Oh, that is wonderful. That is such a tremendous thing, and that's how I was feeling. And so I felt very free, and I didn't really know what else would be involved as far as entering in, but it was just kind of a simple progression. As I just, in every meeting, I just kept tied to whatever was going on. I wasn't going to let this vehicle go anywhere without me. And I stayed close to the floor in every meeting, and I was close to the singing, and I was just expressing love and accepting love. So then when it came to Wednesday night and people were just dancing, and it was so spontaneous. Everything was so spontaneous. There'd be deliverance here. There'd be fellowship here. There'd be dancing here. There'd be people just laying back here. It was just so peaceful. The world just wasn't there. The cares of life, they just weren't there. When we left the camp to go home, it was like, I don't want to go out there. I don't want to drive down that road. I don't want this. I want to go back. If we could have turned around and gone back and started a whole nother week, I would have done that. I miss my kids, but I would have left them with the peskies for another week. I would have been glad to, and oh, it was just tremendous. But that Wednesday night, they were just dancing, and sometimes we just need just a little push. We just need maybe somebody to take our hand and not to try to program or force anybody into it, but sometimes we just need just that little gentle encouragement. Just somebody needs to kind of take you there and maybe kind of pull you out there in the right way, and you don't want to be doing this in the assembly where you just decide it's time for that brother to dance or it's time for that sister to dance. I don't mean that in any way whatsoever, but I think it was Marvin Williams. He grabbed my hand and he was dancing, and I knew the shuffle didn't fit with that anymore. He wasn't shuffling. He was going places, and he didn't need a lame caboose to be joined on, so the two-foot shuffle had no more place, and so we just lit the afterburners and just joined in. It was just that simple. It wasn't any big deal. It was just, that's what my heart is. That's what I really feel. That's what I want. I don't want to keep shuffling around here all the rest of my life. You know, it was nice, but this looks like a better vehicle to join on to. And my wife was down there, and I danced with her, and oh, God was ministering to my wife. God really did some tremendous things in her. And then she got tired, I think, and I wasn't done. I just got started, and so off I went, and as I was dancing, I was aware of the people around, and I noticed that clapping picked up, and I noticed that people came to the front row there, and it was like I attracted a crowd. I knew I had attracted a crowd. They were so happy to see me free. They just had to come down there, and, you know, it was wonderful. Praise the Lord. So Lanny's infamous, he's up there, and he's going, then he, this infamous, glory! Where it comes from, it comes way down from inside, and then out it comes. You got to be careful, you're not ready for it. It'll knock you right over. But each meeting was it was a restoration. I feel like God, see, when I got saved, I immediately was in love with Jesus. And my first 2 years of salvation, they were wonderful. And I got filled with the Holy Spirit a short time after I got saved. And I just had the love of Jesus. I had freedom in everything that I was doing. And I don't think the devil liked that one little bit. And he has been nothing but a pain in the neck to me. And he's robbed me and he's hindered me. But you have loved me and you've prayed for me. And I appreciate your prayers more than words will ever express. And I just feel like that there's been a real restoration. I know my marriage is going to be different. I know my ministry is going to be different. And I want to really say that I know I cannot make it without Jesus Christ. That's obvious. I know I can't make it without singing angels, dancing angels, and all the other angels. I need those angels. I need my eldership. I need their friendship. I need every one of you. I really do. I need you. I need these elders. I need Scott Hartley. I need Jack Hicks. I need my pastor. I'm not going to make it without you. I know that, and I really mean it, and I mean it in the right way. And I need you. I need every one of you. And so I feel like God has done some good things.
Amen. Hold it, Jamie. Jamie, I'm sorry. I want Linda next. We need a song here next. Praise the Lord. Yeah, we really do need one another. This is why, you know, Paul said, brethren, pray for me, pray for one another, supplicate in the Spirit and pray for all saints everywhere. See, there's just a need to be praying together. As we get praying together, we get knitted together. And you see, for the Lord says that if we do not discern the Lord's body, and by the Lord's body, he's saying, you know, that we each have a different function in the body. And we all make up one body till we have the same care one for another. And we all operate together as one body and loving together and weeping together. See, if we don't discern the Lord's body in a spiritual way, then many are weak and sickly among you and many sleep because there isn't the rescuing, there isn't the knitting together where two or three are gathered together in my name. There isn't the same working in the Spirit, and the church is sickly. It's sickly. See, the devil tries to make every person an island to himself. He binds them in a cocoon, and we're like a butterfly made to fly in a cocoon, and we can't seem to get out of this thing. And God has come to set us free that we might be able to soar in Him. The church has been in a place where they have not been able to come out of that cocoon. And the scriptures talk about that grub room. That is, in the book of Job, how the moth is crushed. And the Hebrew means either it can either mean moth or a butterfly. And it says, what the day this would be a butterfly. How it's crushed before the, what does it say? Crushed before the moth. And then the law of the state is crushed before it can emerge and come out and really fly. There's a life in there. And the life is what God has put in it. And it's hidden in there. And it's feeding on a dead body. The body of Christ that died for us is feeding. And it's designed to feed on that until it can come out into the life and the sunshine of God and fly and show all of its beauty as God intended. But it's the wings, everything is all clogged up and it's unable to really move out. And many times, because the devil is crushed before it ever gets to the butterfly stage. But God is having us, the head comes out first and looks around and says, ooh, glory, you know, a little bit. And then there's a wiggling, there's a shuffling, there's a moving, and a little more action. And finally it's out where it can begin to fly. And God is going to get all of His people free.
Amen.
But we need one another. We really do. Children's Church, 12, is it time now? Time to go to Children's Church, my wife says. Those that belong there. Would you stand during this?
Only together will we stand at Jesus' side. Only together will we form His bride. Fitly joined us, that's what God has done. Joined us together with His glorified Son. Only together will we stand at Jesus' side. Only together will we form His bride. Fitly joined us, that's what God has done.
Praise the Lord. You know, I have loved Earl and Molly so much. I have loved them so much, and I so appreciate what the Lord has been doing in Earl, and God's given me a heart for that man. I haven't always expressed it all the time. I do express it to him, but I feel like I'd like to load him, you know, and maybe I should a lot more, but I really feel that love for him. And I appreciate this. Something he said that I want to amplify a little bit. Deliverance leaders, the deliverer needs desperately, in most cases, and they probably seldom get it, to know that you believe in them, that you have confidence in them, that you know the difference between the demon and them. You see, the spirit, what happens is, see, a person, and they need to know that you're not constantly giving in to what you pray for. And they need to know that, that of your integrity and so forth. It's really important because it's different. You know, you open yourself up to become vulnerable. And there's a spirit that bothers you on occasion. Most of the time you're strong and you hold it down. But under certain circumstances, it riles up. And even then, you hold it back a lot of the time. But occasionally, it bursts forth. And maybe you allow it to manifest. Other times, you're not allowing it to manifest at all, but it's in your mind clouding you and tempting you and tempting you and tempting you, and you don't allow it to do anything. Well, if you don't allow it to do anything, you've done well. But typically, the devil is so clever that if a spirit constantly tempts you to do something, and you think, oh, I want to do this so badly, but you don't, but it's always there. After a long time of that, you will feel guilty for having that there. When you're not responsible for having it there, and you've shown yourself strong during the heavy trial because it has pressured you and you have not given in, therefore you've done well, but you'll feel guilty like a failure because it's been there. And one reason you will is because you say, well, I know I'm not responsible for it being there, and I know I haven't given in to it that way, but I've wanted to, so therefore I'm guilty. Untrue. There's no such thing as a temptation if you don't want to. See? The devil can't tempt you to eat sand if you don't, you know, he says, I don't want sand. See? That's no temptation. A temptation is something you want to do. You want. Now, Jesus was tempted. Tempted. With what? Things he had no interest in? That's no temptation. What kind of temptation is that? If Jesus could stand and say, I was tempted in all kinds of things, but I never had any interest in any of them. You'll say, well, big deal. Big deal. And then you're not like us at all. But he said he's tempted in all points, like as we are tempted, and therefore he's able to succor us because he knows what we're going through, because he also was tempted in these very same things. You say, no, I just don't believe that my Lord Jesus would be ever tempted in a sexual way, for example. Well, then you don't know the devil. And you don't have much understanding about such things. He was a real human being, a real man with sex glands, who wanted to use his sex glands like everybody else wants them, who saw lovely women around. He would like to get married. He'd love to have a relationship. But he wasn't allowed to do this. Don't think he wasn't tempted. He was tempted in all points. That means all points. But that didn't mean he did anything wrong, because he said no. No. I only do what my Father allows me to do, and that's it. But the temptation, when the devil came and wanted to have him do certain things, they were temptations for popularity. He wanted people to accept him. He was a human being. He was never minded. It makes no difference to me. I don't care what you guys do or don't. He loved them, and built what was important. I'll tell you how important it was. It was so important that when they didn't, he was grieved and sorrowful, until he was called a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. That's how important it was. He wept. He grieved. He grieved. He wanted people to believe him. He needed them, but they forsook him, and it was a hurt to his heart. See, he was tempted in the very areas of the securities and every single thing as we. But he never gave in to any. And the good thing is, he never listened to the devil either and said, "You're guilty." No, he walked on and said, "I'm not guilty, I never gave in." He had the spiritual sensibilities to make the difference. And so, if you want to, but you don't, good for you, you haven't. And so God doesn't blame you for having desires. He doesn't blame you for having desires. And if you don't give in to that which is not right, then you'll feel blessed. And so, you see, if you don't do that, the deliverer often feels accused, misunderstood. He feels blamed. He feels demeaned. He feels like, well, you know, now you come against the demons. You all these demons conjure up in your mind. You filthy demon of this and this. You filthy demon of lust. You demon of this. You demon of this and this and this. And time he goes through, you know, he can go out feeling like, I appreciate the deliverance, but boy, they sure don't think well of me. You know, I mean, they're going to think I'm all these things. No, I've just been a bundle of this. Or maybe they think you spit of insecurity, and you're praying for an elder or a pastor or something like this. And then they worry secretly and say, "Boy, I hope you don't think I'm insecure. I'm just an insecure human all the time. I don't feel insecure. I feel like a very secure person." But there's an area too that's just deep insecurities. Insecurity for your love, for example. But I mean, if you're very secure about his ministry, he's not a bundle of insecurity. He's a bundle of strength, boldness, feels secure. But he has an insecurity over here. And it isn't always there. He needs to know that you know he's a secure individual. And it's not always there. And what is there is not him, but the demon. They really desperately need this. And I have had this need. I have had this need. In the eldership meeting, in other ways, I have needed. And I've had people that affected me the same way it did Earl. I have had him pray for me, and nothing was sensitive enough to my heart to say, you know, "Pastor, we know." And then they say these positive things that they know, and all the reinforcement, it helps so much to know that they know that I'm really not like that demon. And that I am not, you know, giving into that thing all the time. That they understand that, you know, I'm not constantly giving into this thing. That's not really what I'm saying when I say I'm being troubled with this thing at times. That really helps. And because, you know, the demons have made so many people insecure, we'd have a hard time probably finding anybody that wasn't insecure in some areas.
That's right.
And so, please make sure that you reinforce those. Some have been a big help to me because they've reinforced. And it's been important to me, and I know it's important to everyone. So let's make sure that we're doing that. I don't mean to eulogize and overthrow and say things out that are not sincere, but just that real heart explanation that you really understand this and you know this, and the prayers and the things that you pray in that way can be a great help to them and help deliver them from other spirits and block other spirits as well.
Will Rogers said that I've been rich and I've been poor, and rich is better. And Jamie Hansen this morning is saying, "I have tried works, and I'm trying faith, and faith is much, much better." And the Lord, last Sunday night, did a miracle when I was in service. It started before the elders' retreat. And when I was prayed for by several people, I did not know what happened inside of me. And I did not have great feelings. But I know now what happened inside of me. And I have been praying the last couple of days, "Lord, help me to articulate this, because I know that in my mind it was one of the great keys of this retreat." And last weekend, Barbara said, "The Lord wants to unite us in a love in a new way, in a different way, in a deeper way, in a spiritual way than what we've experienced to this point." And inside I felt like, oh, you know, I would do anything to get there. I want that so bad. And I just kind of put it on the shelf and said, "Lord, I know I can't do it, so I'm going to have to trust you." And I don't even know what that even means at this point. But I feel like the Lord has caused me to understand something in the Spirit that happened to me Sunday night, and that is this. I believe that, maybe it's an overstatement, but most of us, I believe, have a somewhat proper image of the other people in the body. When I look at Mike Sabrin, our pastor, whoever it happens to be, I see godliness, righteousness, integrity, a longing for Jesus. That's how I interpret their life. But most of us, then, when we want to be joined in love with them, we accept a demonic self-image of ourself, and then we try to apply that to the correct image of this other one, and it will never fit. It can't possibly fit, because we are accepting a lie. It's just like a shadow out here that's not us, and we say, Lord, somehow try to join this icky, dark, unwilling, failing, trying, weak, sometimes spiritual longing, but way down here, join this with that godly one. And it never fits right. It just doesn't fit. And I feel like what God has done is I see myself just as clearly in a sense, but all I see is before God. I just feel like, Lord, yes, I still have those failings, but I am only going to listen to the voice of you, of what you tell me about myself. I lock in with your image of me, and now, I mean, it is so wonderful. I feel like I just can't wait to join myself to these other godly ones. And it's not at all that, oh, it's cheap grace, because I want more to get rid of all those little things that are battling against me. But it's just such an expectation that, yes, I can be joined. Of course I can, because, and this is the question I want to pose to you. What do you do in your mind when you see someone else fail? Like, if you saw George Boker or someone do something that was maybe not perfect, or Jamie Hansen, or whoever it happens to be, you give them grace in your mind, don't you? You say, that's probably not their heart. I know they didn't want to react that way, so I'm going to reinterpret it and say they wanted to do this, but they were taken advantage of. That's what I do in my mind. And so I thought, Lord, well, yes, then I can do the same thing, because that's what you do to me. And so I accept, and every other voice is stilled. Every other concept that other people might have of me that would lower me, I don't accept that. And even if they do feel critical, I don't accept that. And I just accept your image, and now I am going to just do everything I can to express that to the others so they can know that I accept that, and I accept them, and therefore we can come straight across. And I feel like the dancing for me was, it was like, that's the only thing I can do. That's the logical thing, because I'm so happy about what God has done. It was just such a logical choice of what to do. The first night when I was there, Mark Yokers came and said, Brother, I think it would be good if you just come down and see if you can't, I don't know how it was worded, but come and join in with us. And in my mind, even though I felt the Spirit of the Lord on me, I yielded for a minute to weakness, and I thought, well, what I can do is I'll go down in front and I'll go like this for a little while, and then as soon as everybody's attention is somewhere else, I'll just kind of, and then I'll be done with it. And it'll be okay, unless, you know, something really good happens. That was where my mind was at. And yesterday morning I woke up and I was thinking back of, it seems so different now. Now I feel like I can't relate to feeling that way, because I feel so different. But I think there was a little song that came to my mind that best expressed how I felt when I first went down there, and I felt like the leg bones connected to the natural mind, the arm bones connected to the carnal mind, and I felt like, oh, hear the word of the Lord. That I felt like that's what I needed. And I couldn't get rid of that sensation that this is my leg and that's my arm, and I think most of you can relate to that. I felt like a head that was tied to a big sausage or something that had... And I want to say this, and this is exactly, those that were dancing, and Earl, he may have been doing the shuffle, but that looked like, what Fred Astaire to me, because of knowing Earl, and it helped me so much. I said, Lord, yes, you bring me right into this too, Lord. I gained some freedom that first night, and I want to say this because it might help. The second night, I was so anxious. I'd seen Don expressing himself, and I'd seen these others, and I just began to get a little bit free, and I felt like, boy, here it goes. And right at that moment, I banged into the little counter there that had cookies on it, and I just collapsed. I was right back to leg bones, and I felt like, I almost felt like, oh, Lord, how, I thought you'd keep me from anything like that.
What did you do, Jamie? You just... You handle that. It's called in-flight refueling.
I didn't have that revelation. I needed it right then. I say that because, and I'm going to say this, I don't think he'll mind, but I saw Lanny at one point just take a complete tumble, and it was like one of those little blown-up things that got sand in the bottom, and you punch them, and they come right. And it blessed me because he went clear down, got right back up, and that was part of the routine. But I'm saying this for a reason, because there might come a time when just as you're getting free, someone may come who maybe isn't anointed, or maybe they aren't, and they may give you a right to the cheek, and you'll feel like you want to fold, but that happened, and the Lord picked me right back up, and I went right on. I want to say, because it was so wonderful, I don't even remember what afternoon, I think it was Wednesday afternoon, I just went out and I began to dance, and I had an experience that was so wonderful. And like Don said, you can't tell what's going on just looking from the outside. But as I began to dance, the only way I can describe it, I had a mental block, and I'm going to say this in my mind, might seem like a funny thing, but it was really hanging me up. I would feel the connection of God's Spirit coming down, and most of the other men that I saw were dancing pretty much rollicking, and it looked so joyful, and I could do that to an extent, and it felt wonderful, but I began to feel God's Spirit come down, and I began to feel like I wanted to do different things, I don't know how to say it other than more smooth or whatever, and in my mind I began to, it was just like a voice saying, now that's feminine. You are looking so feminine, you better get back to, do anything but this. And as soon as I stopped, and I tried to go back, and my feet got all tangled up, and so I was just like, Lord, I felt His presence when I began to express, and it was like I just related to that. That's what I felt like. And as I began to do that, the only way I can describe it, I felt like the Lord was holding me, and I was ice skating, and every single thing I did, it was like I knew in my mind I couldn't possibly fall down. Everything was perfect. Everything, and I mean, I don't know what it looked like from the outside, but the sensation was everything was perfect. I felt like someone who had trained like an ice skater for 4 years, and they get up at 3 a.m, they practice for 3 hours before school and 4 hours at night, and they've done it for 4 years, and they have that magic 3 minutes on the ice, when their body is it's completely in their power, they can do everything they want. They go right next to the boards, but they're not afraid. They know exactly. And that's what I felt like. I just felt like Jesus was leading me, and I could almost like lean back and do anything I wanted. It was almost like, do what you want. If you want to drag your foot, if you want to everything was an expression that came from my spirit, and it meant something to me and to him. And we were locked together, and I felt like, I don't care. I don't care if 9 out of 10 elders think this is, you know, feminine. I was like, I didn't care. It was too wonderful to care at that point. And I experienced something so wonderful that I felt like I would never trade this for anything because it's just too wonderful and too precious. Maureen Sabrin, and I tell you, her and Mike, when Barbara talked about there is going to be a way to express things spiritually, I feel like in my mind, if God doesn't do that somehow, I just won't be able to see them anymore. I mean, it'd be better if they stay away because I don't know what to do. I have so much love. I've hugged them. I've shaked their hands. I've sat next to them. I've talked with them. I've looked at them. I don't know what to... God's got to do something because there's too much love. And but she had told me, she said, Jamie, you know, I've been thinking about you. This was Sunday night. And she said, you know, I feel like this elders retreat just keeps coming. This time, Jamie gets Jesus. This time, Jamie gets Jesus. And you know when I was dancing? That's just what it was like. It was like, Lord, I've been too busy in a sense in my mind with my job back in Bozeman. It's been a battle not to consume me, and I know this, and I should be more. But it was like all of that was over, way over some mountain somewhere. I couldn't hear it anymore. I couldn't hear all those demonic images, inhibitions, lack of freedom. It was just like, in fact, when I danced, I'd say, Jesus, I get you. You're all I want. This time I get Jesus. And I could feel it inside. It wasn't just like, now she said it. Maybe I can conjure this up. But it was right there. I get Jesus this time. Now I get Jesus. And you don't know what that means to me. I have felt like since I was a little kid that I knew the calling of God's been on my life. It's like every morning, even when I ran from him, the first thing every morning when I wake up, it was like, God, eternity, you, I want you. I mean, I could never shake that voice. It was there all the time. It's always been there. And something that happened in this retreat, I think it's probably been the biggest struggle area in my life, is feeling a sense of not wanting it. I know it was demonic, but like a passiveness towards picking up the sword of the Spirit and stepping into and doing ministries. More like, well, if there's anybody else available, I never felt like, oh, I want to get out and be a pastor, I want to minister. That's never been in my heart. It's just been more like, Lord, you know, send somebody else, let them do it. You know, I know you've called me, and I've tried to step out, and I want to, but not like a sense of, Lord, I am a steward of this, and woe is me if I don't preach the gospel. That has not been there, and I've sensed that God wants to have that, like with the gifts of the Spirit, with other things. And as he's used me a few times there in Bozeman, like in messages and tongues interpretation, I've known that he's wanted to, but it seems like it would just kind of slip away, and if someone else can, that's fine with me, Lord. It's almost like a fear of, I don't want to do it in myself. I don't want it to be me that does this. But at the retreat, as God began to do these things, I felt like, Lord, I want to be bold in your spirit. It was like I could almost imagine a sword that was just laying there, rusty and kind of half used, and I felt like, Lord, I want to pick that up, and I want to begin to be a non-passive minister of wherever it is. I mean, no matter what, I just want to, like Lanny said, just, you know, attack instead of trying to get through. The last thing I want to say, and it relates to what I said earlier about this image that I think we have sometimes, God has... In his word, he said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. Now, we know that scripture, and we believe that God is wanting to bring us into his image and likeness. And I think most of us, by faith, we say, yes, Lord, you are doing that. I want you to do it. But it's been impressed in me this week that God has a timing and a great variety of bringing us into his likeness and image. And we get restless, and that's why we begin to compare and say, well, Lord, you are doing this and this and this in that one. That's bringing them into your likeness and image. And I'm over here. But we need to begin to say, Lord, I trust you that if dancing, and I feel like this may sound like an exaggeration, but I feel like this is one of the most major things that is bringing me into his likeness and image. Those inhibitions which were so strong, those have got to go. Because if not, we will not move up into his likeness and image in the way that he wants to. We have to be delivered. And once being delivered, now there's an expression, not that this is the end. I know it's not the end. God is, I almost feel like if God did not even have a plan, which he does, he could create a million new things for us in the next year that we would just stand and say, well, what more could God do? I'll relate one incident. We always call my brother David and his wife April. And like over the last 3.5 years when we've been gone, and we'll say, well, what's going on in the chapel now? What is God doing? And, you know, they'll say, well, it's just a move of the love of God. God is, you know, doing this. God has begun to move in deliverance. I mean, it's really different, but, I mean, people are getting, and each thing they would tell us, and it would always be new. It would be like, boy, I wouldn't have thought that would happen, you know? And Nancy had called back about, I don't know, a month or so ago, and she was talking to my brother David, and she said, well, you know, what's new at the chapel? And just in a real calm, nonchalant voice, he said, well, several people are flying now. Not everyone's moved into it, but several people are flying now. Well, he just said that as sort of, you know, after a while, it's like, well, what more could God do? You know, and so I don't know if that's a direction to pray for, but I've had wonderful flying dreams. I feel like, Lord, if thou bidst me, I mean, I would come. But God is bringing us into his likeness and image. And I think that he would want us, and especially those of you that have really battled with this thing of, this is my image, but I see them as that. And some of the times that it's really made it clear to me, in fact, this week, I saw one a girl go up to our pastor, and I saw kind of such a nervousness, and kind of, I could tell Don just wanted to have her express herself to him and he to her. But there was like a, I appreciate you, Pastor, you know, kind of that. And I thought, Lord, you are going to just remove all of that. You're going to take that away so that our image is that, Lord, you are making me in your likeness and image. If you're doing this at this point in time, I accept that. If that person is going way up here into this new thing, then I accept that that is important right now for their likeness and image reformation in their life. And I think if we will do that, it will cause us to anxiously begin to expect God to keep us on that path and lock in with him and say, Lord, I am looking to you. I am not going to compare myself, but I'm not going to lag back. I mean, if I see these people moving, I say, Lord, you move me. I want to go right into that. I don't want to lose touch with your spirit so that I might miss the next step. I want every step, but I'm not going to fret if you have me on the wheel for a long time, flat on my back, saying, Lord, oh, I need you. Oh, I need you. And everyone else seems to be moving. If that's what God's Spirit is doing, then that's got to be done. And then he'll get you real quickly back up to where everybody else is so that you can move on.
I want Kelly to come up next, and I think that'll probably be all the time we'll have. I want to say a couple of things. I'm going to talk about a moment about the expression that the Lord has given me in the Spirit in dancing before him, expressing myself to him. I need this particular kind of dancing that I'm doing for me. You know, the Lord says, my yoke fits. My yoke is easy, and the Greek means my yoke fit. That's why it's easy. And everyone's a unique person and different, you know. And I saw Debbie Stetson out here, and I thought, and of course she was in high heel shoes, and I recognized her. I thought, she looks so ladylike and demure, and you know, and I see my wife does something, you know, it just fits her, you know, it just fits. Well, I really, I don't know if you really can understand this, but for me, for what I am, I really need to do what I'm doing. And I could not do it if it wasn't for that dancing angel. I know that. And I am so thankful to the Lord. I think, Lord, you know, I mean, like I said, you know, and well, I don't want to say that, I guess. Well, people might misunderstand it, but I have to have a certain type of thing for me to be satisfied with. You know, and certain things that I do. The Lord has just allowed my spirit to be able to express itself in a way that can be satisfying to me for what I need. And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. It feels so natural and so wonderful. Now, I want to promise you something. I want to promise you that what I am doing is not because I have had a lot of sport judo.
Nah.
Now, it is true. I have spent, you know, thousands of hours on the mat, I suppose. And I, it's true that I have gained coordination, ability to move my body. I'm in touch with my body. I used to jump off of springboards and do flips of the air and land on my side. And you have to hit this the right way and let the air out just right. And I was able to do that. I used to take flips and talk to people while I was going over, explaining to the students and all this. I know who I am, and all of that helps. But I could in no way, I didn't have that in me. I did not feel like this. I mean, I did not have it. I could not go out in myself, and I wouldn't do this if I did. And you see, the devil has attacked me in this. And I need, and I have needed your acceptance of my expression to the Lord. And when I was, and the reason I needed it so much is because my soulical mind cannot relate to it. I cannot, in my mind, relate to what I'm doing as to expressing what I feel before the Lord. And so, in fact, it's an enigma to me. So much so that it's given an open door to the devil to attack me, which is, in itself, proof that it's not me just trying to do something. Because if I would try to do something, I would do that which I could relate to. That's what you always try to do, something you can relate to. And my preconceived notion of how I should move to spiritually express my love is different than what I'm doing. And I cannot see what I'm doing with my mind, how that is really equating with my preconceived notion. Which is, but my spirit feels so, it feels so natural, so free. I do not have to try to say, now what do I do? I don't have to at all try to figure out. I mean, I would have to stop myself. It is the most natural thing. And the reason it's so absolutely natural, I mean, I've got something, even in between when I feel the spirit of the Lord. I mean, even if I feel it, relate to. And my preconceived notion of how I should move to spiritually express my love is different than what I'm doing. And I cannot see what I'm doing with my mind, how that is really equating with my preconceived notion. Which is, but my spirit feels so, it feels so natural, so free. I do not have to try to say, now what do I do? I don't have to at all try to figure out. I mean, I would have to stop myself. It is the most natural thing. And the reason it's so absolutely natural, I mean, I've got something, even in between when I feel the Spirit of the Lord. I mean, even if I feel, I've just got this now. I didn't have that before. What is it? It is a spirit. It is a spirit. Without that spirit, I'd be back to myself. And I could not do that. Without that spirit, I'd be back to my soulical mind, which doesn't feel at all like doing this, plus my human spirit, which has no spirit taking it. And so I'd have a hunger again to express myself, but wouldn't know how to express it. But that spirit that God's given me, that I asked for, and I'm sure that it is in fact and in truth an angel, a dancing angel to dance, has put that spirit in me until I feel it. I just feel I know exactly what to do. I know what to do for that. I mean, that spirit just is articulating because of this spirit interfacing with it and allowing it to move according to my spirit. Now, it's not me. It's not just a dancing angel dancing through me, a puppet. Because if that were true, my spirit would not be fully satisfied because it'd be the angel dancing to the Lord. But my spirit is expressing itself. But this angel is giving me the vehicle for my spirit to express itself. And so it has given what I need so that my spirit can express itself. And the Lord knows exactly what I need. He knows how I need to do it. And this spirit knows how to do it. The spirits know a lot of things. And they know how to do it so that I can express them to me. And so that spirit is just in there. And so some at the retreat have come up to me and they've said how it blessed them. And I at this point, nothing's going to my head. I mean, as far as, they say, pride or anything, I have needed the reinforcement to make sure. And even if they tell me, even if this number have told me, still, the devil would be attacking my mind, making it hard to really accept it, because my mind couldn't really equate with it. And I had to say, and I said to myself this morning, I said, "No, I told my wife, in fact, yesterday, I guess it was, I said, I am going to have to just accept that my mind, my soulical mind, is going to have to say, okay, now, this is out of your field. You're no expert in this. This is the spirit field. And you're the soul, and the spirit is the doctor, and you're a layman. So you keep out of it. You just have to trust, and just trust the spirit that he knows what he's doing." And that's what I've had to do. And so Friday night when I came here, boy, I really had a spirit of nervousness hit me. And apprehension. In fact, my wife said that none of people she talked to, none of them, they all said, "Well, we weren't freed up. We went to retreat." I mean, in front of the congregation, the elders, this was more difficult. It's really difficult to just, step out. And this morning I was more free. And but you see, we need the acceptance of one another. And we need to know it's all right. And a number of people, we've gone to each other, and told each other. And some of us probably don't even know how much it's meant. I told my wife, I said, "Honey," because my wife has never been really athletic. And she, at the retreat, she told how I started to teach a little bit of gymnastics and I gave up at lesson one in the middle of it, and because she just wasn't athletic. And her balance organs, the cilia there doesn't really give a real accurate measurements when the fluid is there, and she doesn't know where she is. And the response is slow, and she doesn't, she can't feel where she is. She needs other people to kind of help dance what she's felt like because she'll lose her equilibrium. But I saw her dancing back, Phil, at the elders' retreat, and I thought, I told her, I said, "Honey, you look smooth, coordinated. It just fits you. It looks just right for you." Okay. And it was beautiful, and that was a help to her.
Yeah.
Now my daughter didn't need it, but I told her I felt that she was looking really graceful and nice, out here. And I've been telling others, but once you realize people need this,
right.
And then don't keep your mouth shut. If you see it and you feel that way, share it with them. But it's helped people to know, did I really? Oh, you can see kind of a relief come across. The first time they did it, and you tell them, they go, "Oh, See, because there was a wonderment appeared in the natural mind. The devil always likes to play on these things, And but this is something that this is not, If you, I came back. I got to say this again, because I have to make sure that everybody understands this. I said to Jack Hicks, I said, "This is going to be," and I mean this in a certain way. I don't mean that like, you don't know, you don't accept. We've had dancing spirit. I said. But really, really what this thing really was doing, I felt like, but how do you express this? How do you go back and really tell, really, what's really happening when you have to feel it? Unless you've experienced it, you don't really fully understand what's happening. And when I was watching people heal, as I say, I don't know how many in that place and how many aren't. But when I've been watching, I never really fully understood it. And I really feel, I know quite a lot about these things, and I've accepted it. And I've done, you know, I danced for joy. But I never really understood it until I did it. And a lot of you, you're just going to have to put yourself on the faith line out here and say, if you're looking at it from the carnal man or the soulical man, you don't understand. And until you've experienced it, you can become an ardent enthusiast. And it can go from disdain to ardent enthusiast once you really experience and your spirit is let loose, if your spirit can really express itself. And if you're dancing and your spirit isn't expressing itself, but it's solical, you're on a different wavelength. You're just bouncing around the landscape. It's a different thing. It's not thrilling you the same way. Now, let me see if I'm through here. And you know, the devil, just one last thing, real quick. The devil attacked us in a lot more ways and subtle ways than we think. In fact, you know, I came up here and it was just a little joke. You know, I have this little humor down inside. It just comes out automatically. And my daughter talked about poetic. And she has this feeling. And I was just going to say, you know, I'll try to say this in iambic pentameter. And I got up there and that demon has attacked my tongue at times, and you know, until I couldn't, and I didn't know which direction was which. And I walked back down, hung back a hill, and it was like I said in my mind, iambic pentameter, but it's too late now to say it. Came into my mind, just like that. It was just like, oh, you know that, iambic pentameter. See, if you can't say it now, so, I mean, so you blundered up there. You see, now, the devil always overplays himself. Every so often, he overplays himself, you say, ah, I know who you are. You see, we always think, well, I stumble on it. We need to say, he made me stumble. He doesn't like us saying, he's hunting for things that he can make us feel bad about and inefficient. He's always picking on us. And we need to cut through that thing, understand that thing, and go to warfare against that. God's going to allow him to, all these spirits to express themselves, and if you're watching and waiting, you'll see it here, and you'll see it there, and you'll know what to attack. You'll get rid of them, and pretty soon you'll just clean house. Right. They'll just talk themselves right out of business. Right. If you're going to really and do something about it, believe in God. Carrie, go right ahead. This is the last testimony.
God did such a freeing work in my heart. And he just did miraculous things. When we first got to the other retreat, when I were coming here, I had decided I'm going to spend every minute I can there. I'm going to stay there until Don tells me to go home. And we just stayed there the whole time and just entered right in with everything. And when I came the first night, everybody was just so free. I just felt like there was just freeing angels there. I mean, it was just so free. Everything was so free. And I thought until we came back here, I knew a lot of things were happening in hearts and stuff, but I really thought until just since these testimonies started, since Friday night, I did think everybody was dancing like that normally. And I've always wanted to dance, and I have been dancing, but I've never been so free as I was. And I know that first night when the women, the men were down in the lower part and the women up in the upper part, and they just started to dance in a circle there, I just saw them dancing away and I just jumped right in there. I didn't ask me to come in. I just thought, well, I'll just join in with them. And I did, and God did such a freeing work in that. But the things that, as the time went on, I came with an attitude that I really didn't have a whole lot of, things I really wanted to get done here and everything. I really felt in a good place with God and things, and I just wanted to come to worship God and to love God and to express more of my love to Him. But because of real deep, deep, like what Don was saying about like deep insecurities with, you know, you can operate fine, but these things from when you were a little child and just the way you were brought up and these deep insecurities or unloved spirits. And, you know, when you're bound all your life, you don't realize what freedom is. But as a little child even, you know, I never remember my mother ever hugging me, ever, or my father, you know. And I went through, you know, I was a typical radical hippie, and I really went through by 13 I was doing drugs. And so my parents had a see me go through all this. I was by far the most wild out of the whole family. And my brothers ended up being real goody-goodies through high school, so there was a real drastic, matter of fact, one of them even turned into an Eagle Scout and stuff, so I mean, there was a real drastic difference between them and me. And my mother did not like it one bit. And by the time, you know, like when I hit high school, I remember I was about a junior in high school, she told me, she said, I don't want to ever have you come up to me down on Main Street. I don't want anyone to know that you're my daughter. And, you know, I thought, oh, good, you know, that's what the attitude I had. I had this real harsh, real, you know, I can do everything myself. I'm tough, you know, and I know I used to go, you know, into the city as a young girl. I was only like 10 years old. I can't believe my mother used to let me do it. But she would let me go up to Connecticut to see my cousins, and I'd have to go into New York City to 42nd Street, Times Square, 42nd Street, many people know. I mean, that's like the worst place in the whole wide world. And I used to go there all by myself. She just sent me on there. And I just got real hard and real, you know, towards the whole world. And I know I just probably just dragged that right along. But I learned that, you know, I've got to love people. And I have gotten delivered of many of those things. And I have. But the one morning, I was just tired from dancing so much. I sat down, just because I was so tired, my legs hurt. And I was sitting there, and a sister came up behind me, and she was looking for someone to pray for, and she really didn't have any real direction to pray for anybody right then. And she came over, and she laid hands on me, and as soon as she did, she knew she'd better stay here. And she started praying for me, and some other people came over and started praying for me. And God, I am so thankful for this church. Over here at the healing line, this is, back up a little here, I don't know, quite a while ago, I went over there to get healed for something, and they have such a heart to minister, these healing ministers here. And I just went over there to get the heal for a stomachache. Like, I don't know what it was. I can't remember. But I remember it was Bob Sackett. All of a sudden, you know, he said, he started ministering to me in deliverance all of a sudden. You know, he turned over and he goes, you have a really bad, have you been hurt in your life? And my mind was, you know, because I just figured, I didn't even think, well, no, not really, you know, I don't know, you know. But as he started in, you know, I realized, yeah, I guess I have been, you know. And he said, I saw your heart as an open wound. And he said, I've seen a lot of hurt hearts, but this was really a really open wound. And I just kept that in my mind, and I've been praying about that since that happened. And while they were praying for me that morning, all of a sudden, a vision like of that heart, the open wound. And in my mind, it was like, well, that's all healed up. I know I'm all better. And I was expecting to see a good, healed heart. And I didn't. And so God just started working on me and letting me know how much He loved me, how much I was cared for. I have never been able to, you know, because somebody would say they love me, and I know I've gotten over it a lot, but I mean, I still had kind of like, well, they're only saying that because, you know, they say that they feel bad for me or something like that. You know, these lies would come in, you know, they don't really love me, you know, I'm really not much, you know, and I can't really do anything. And all these lies would come in, but God just started totally abandoning myself to Him and totally freeing myself to Him. And as it just went on with a whole lot of different freedoms in all these areas of insecurities and hurts, deep hurts that I didn't even know were there. And I just felt so much love for the people. I have never felt so much love inside of me to love others. You know, it was just like, I'm going to burst. You know, I just loved everybody. And after that, there was a song that was being sung. It was a love song. It was a love song to the Lord. And all of a sudden, I had this vision of the heart, and it was all being sewn up. And as I was singing, I was going like this, and as I was whipping it shut, you know, sewing the heart up. And I knew that the Lord had taken these things, and, you know, just real deep things that were, you know, you just always felt deep down inside, someone's really going to pull the rug out from under you sooner or later. You know, and I never had that feeling towards the Lord. I've heard people testify many a times, you know, different places, and even here, you know, like I was going down for the 10 count. I don't know, I was probably going to throw in the towel, and you know, I had such a rotten old life. I just hated it. I know there was a couple times in my old life I used to pray, and I was a Catholic, but I was a bad Catholic, and I know that, you know, I would get into situations where I did a lot of drugs, and I know a couple of times I probably OD'd, but not into having anybody to help me. I would pray to God, And I, not Mary, because I knew better, and I prayed to God that he would help me, and that if he got me through this, you see, I had no idea, because I hadn't even seen a Bible until I got saved. No one had ever told me about the Lord. And I prayed, God, if you get me through this tonight, I'm never going to do any drugs again. But I was so bound in that thing, the next day I was doing drugs. You know, if I made it through, and I did, I'm here. And, you know, and that happened quite a few times, and it was just like, I was so bound by that thing. And when I gave my heart to Jesus, there was no turning back, and I've never had that feeling. But God just took those hurts and feelings of, you know, rejection of any thought away. Well, then, right after that, this love song, it was just so beautiful, and it was just ministering to my heart. And just then, one sister came over to me, and she started praying for me, and then it was Judy Rowell, and oh, I love her so much. She came up to me, and she just started telling me that you're so special. You know, it's a privilege to pray for you. And that just broke me, because privilege, you know, my mind used to be privileged, but I accepted it. I knew it. It was, you know, I was accepting that love from her, and it just broke my heart. And then still, they were still praying for me, and she was finished. And then Jack, the voice comes up to me, and he just tells me how much he loves me and cares for me, and how much he wasn't praying for me. He was across the room, but he saw me. And it was just ministering to my heart. Well, then the next night, or somewhere, I don't get the days mixed up, but my husband was real free, and he came up, and like I said, we were dancing in the back, and he came up and grabbed me. That was such a, I was just in heaven, you know, it was just so glorious that he came up, and because I was so surprised to see him out there dancing, because I had left him, and he wasn't, and he was being prayed for, and I hadn't seen him this free yet, and I was dancing away there, and I wasn't even paying attention. He just grabbed me, and all of a sudden, we were just dancing there, and the Lord came down and took away any fears, any doubts. And like he was saying, I felt the same thing. So much love for my children, so much love for the people I minister to, so much love for my husband, so much love for the Lord, and that the Lord cared for me. He came down and ministered to me. There was such a freedom. I felt like I couldn't stop dancing. He stopped at one point, and he even said it after he stopped and sat down. He was so surprised I kept going, because, see, I had started before him even. And I thought, I just couldn't. The expression of love, it's just like another vehicle to express my love to Jesus. I just couldn't stop. I was just going, and
Interrupt for a second, honey. I just wanted to share one thing that the Lord did. After that, he came down upon us that last night, and we were just praying, and this just fits in what she was saying about our marriage. We've had a good marriage, but we had our heads just kind of leaned up against one another. We saw a lot of deliverance going on, but we just didn't feel that really building in our hearts. And we just were praying, just feeling a sweet love for one another and all that the Lord had done. And then the Lord began to give me a revelation that I believe he wants to impart to all the husbands at one time or another. And that was, he showed me specifically that she was everything I've ever wanted. And I mean really specifically, not just a good thought that came through the mind, but he showed me specifically that she was everything I've ever wanted. So that's what you're looking at up there. But I really mean that. And I believe that the Lord wants to break the deception upon the husband's minds. And it wasn't like I didn't believe that, but I had the revelation of it begin to fill my mind. And the one thing that I came through this retreat was is how deceived we get so quickly. And we need the spirit of revelation upon us. But I just really believe that God wants to pour that out to all of the husbands. Because that was the last thing that I came away with. And I tried to tell her and tried to tell her, but I knew she really couldn't understand what I was feeling. I was saying, honey, you're just what I want in that, and 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 just what I want in that.
And through that dance, that's exactly what I was feeling. That, yes, I was just, I always felt kind of like, well, he stuck with me, and I'm his tag-along. And because we've been together, I was 14 when I met him, and we've been together 15 years or so, and, I just felt like, he stuck with me or something, but he just broke all those inhibitions, all that, just such a freedom to love the brothers and sisters. And I know that this elders retreat was such such a blessing. I just love Don and Barbara so much. It was such a blessing for me to see them being freed, and I just felt like, someone was talking about how they, I just felt like everybody was just best friends. You know, I really don't know Don and Barbara real good. I mean, only I've known them since I've been here, and I haven't been their best friends. But I mean, I felt like I was their best friend. You know, I never really had a whole lot of friends growing up because of my crazy life. I was just very strange, and I didn't have a real close friends. But I just felt like everybody. I just felt like Don was one of my best buddies. You know, and Barbara was my best buddy, and Jan, and everybody. You know, it was just such a just a love bond just between everyone.
Amen, Stuart. So there's no misunderstanding. I don't know if you understand exactly what's happened. If you don't, you and the satellite churches, but you've alluded to the fact that, you know, I thought you always were doing this. Let me explain this just so you do know it won't go back with the wrong picture. Our church has been, this whole front has been full of dancing all the time. Mm-hmm. And we've had people dancing the aisles back there. We've had the little kids on both sides dancing. And a lot more would wish they could have been up here. And before and after services, it's been jammed up here. We've had lots of dancing for a long time, but everybody hasn't been free, and a lot of us in the eldership haven't been free. And you know, when you occupy a certain office and position, sometimes it's more difficult, I suppose. There's certain pride or fear or something, and where people, you know... They look at you, you know, and they put you up on a pedestal, and they shouldn't be doing that. But it's more difficult, you know, for the pastor to dance before the people than the janitor, you know, because the janitor says, "Well, I'm the janitor," and the pastor says, "Well, everybody, the pastor belongs to everybody, and they have their idea of what you know. I mean, and it's more difficult to let loose because of those things. And so a lot of our eldership hasn't been dancing. And so that's what you saw kind of new up there. But the church has been dancing. That doesn't mean everybody, but it means there were enough to fill this place up. I want to express my thanks to the numbers of you that have prayed for me. I came down with a real bad cold all of a sudden, didn't retreat, and that thing broke.
Glory.
And the symptoms are not totally gone, but there was just a big difference. I mean, you can tell when it's really on you, and then boom, that thing broke, and I was just right after that. A huge difference. I want to thank you for that. Now, when I was up to the retreat, Sandy came over and said, "We just need some words for this music." So I went over and sat down and wrote out some words for this music, and words that kind of came from the basic theme of the Song of Solomon. And I don't know where those words are now. This thing's been going around from people until we've... I don't know, maybe Sandy might have them, and Sandy, I don't know if she's on vacation or what. Do you know, Molly, what happened to... And somebody may call Dale, but if you know, if any of you have got those words, that's the original. And I don't know what they are. And so if you've got them, you know who's got them, please get them to us so we can sing them here and integrate them. Now, next week, of course, we'll be going back. We'll be having you that are visiting... we do have sermons in this church and teaching. And next week we'll be back doing in our sermons and teaching and so forth, back with testimonies too. Tonight, again, will be just testimonies. Glory. Those have been at the eldership retreat. Glory. And if all the satellite church pastors and elders and so forth get through, then intercessors will be also allowed to do that. And otherwise, next week they can testify. A number of those from satellite churches have not... Well, they had to go right home to the services, you understand, so they weren't able to come here, but they would like to have done that. And they will be listening to our testimonies. Unfortunately, you won't all be able to hear those. Now, one last thing. All of this that we're talking about, the joy, the thrill, the love, the expression, the freedom, cannot be explained by the mechanics of dancing.
Amen.
Moving bodies in certain ways cannot possibly explain what we're talking about. It is only a vehicle. When you feel something, you'll clap, you'll tap your toe, you'll do something, you'll move or something, and it lets you know that something is alive in there and doing something. But the real thing is happening down inside. It's the spiritual thing. It's happening in the spirit. And that's... So I don't want to get the eyes off onto dancing. It's expression of the spirit, but it's the freedom so that you can move your body more. And like I taught once before, the more you receive of the Lord, the more you need to use the body he gave you to express it. If you feel a little bit, you know, your toe might tap a little bit. And if you feel a little more, you know, you might clap just a little bit. But when it builds beyond that, people want to stand up. And then when you know, they're not satisfied with a little tiny clapping, they want a really clap. And then you know, a person's kind of bouncing. See? And pretty soon, you want to dance. It's like going with somebody and falling in love with them. First, you just want to hold their hand. Then you want to put your arm around them. Then you want to hug them. Then you want to kiss them. See, it builds to the fuller expressions because something is not satisfied unless it expresses itself in a more full way when you're falling in love, until finally, as you fall in love and you become one in marriage, you need the person. You have to have the total person. God wants, Jesus Christ, our heavenly groom, wants the total person. He wants us to be able to express ourselves in body, soul, and spirit, give our entire self unto him. And the scripture talks about this in the connection of our body, our soul, and the spirit being sanctified before the Lord. And sanctified means set apart to the Lord. See, take it away from you and set apart before him. He's given us our bodies to express himself. We're called the temple of the Holy Ghost. And he's given us, we are the you know, the two of us are the soul. And the soul has a counterpart with the spirit. And what the spirit is doing in the spiritual realm, the soul is always affected by what the body does and what the spirit does. And the soul is also expressing, but it doesn't understand the spirit thing as the spirit does, because it's not a spirit. And it can never understand it like the spirit. This is why the scripture says these things are spiritually discerned. And he says the natural man, and the Greek is the solical man, the psuche, the solical man. And he's saying the solical man cannot know the things of the spirit. That's what it says. The solical man cannot. But these things are spiritually discerned. And the spirit has something that the soul cannot. But there is the mind of the spirit, as the spirit is interacting and using the mind. And so the spirit of the mind is doing this, and the mind appeal in a see, it isn't like you have no understanding. There is a mind of the spirit. The spirit, in other words, uses your brain, and the soul uses your brain. And they're both logging things on the brain. And so after a while, you have spiritual understanding that's logged here, and you have solical understanding logged here. You also have physical things that are logged here. And as the whenever there's an energy given to that, to the mind from the body, you know, taste buds, for example, the soul gets its solical interpretation of that. And whenever there's a spiritual thing happening, the soul gets its solical interpretation of that. The soul is always affected, no matter what. That's the real you. So when the spirit is articulating itself, when you finally give over this body to the spirit, and the spirit is using the body, the spirit is deriving that spiritual pleasure, and that's why it's much higher than a solical pleasure. If you're doing solical dancing, the soul is getting the pleasure. But for the spirit is getting the pleasure, and the spirit understands what it's doing. And the spirit is being, and the Lord, who is the spirit, understands. Now, the solical man, however, is getting an impulse. But it has to interpret it as a soul, which it is. It cannot interpret it like it's a spirit. It doesn't. And so at the same time, it's worshiping, because it has opened up and allowed the spirit to worship. That's where the will is in, and the deciding factor, of course, is in the soul. And so it also is worshiping. But it's not doing the same thing. But they're running on parallel courses. This is doing it from the spirit, articulating things that the soul doesn't even understand. So the soul might receive a vision. It might be imagining. It might be thinking certain words, saying, Jesus, I love you. I praise you. I love you. But the spirit is something much deeper, much deeper. And the soul is getting, it can feel the body actions, the excitement of the thrill of the body actions. It can feel also the thrill from the spirit, as the soul can, and it also is doing its own worship. But you see, there's something much, the deep thing in there is felt by the spirit, because the spirit is getting satisfied. You can go out and have a lot of solical and fleshly fun, but there's still an emptiness and a crying in your spirit. And you'll never be satisfied until you give your spirit, until you give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and become born again and have a newly begotten spirit that's now in touch with him. Then that vacancy inside will be fulfilled. And people out of the world, they go out and they dance all night and sing and so on. They go, they dance too, and they come out. There's an unfulfillment. There's a deep unfulfillment inside. They don't know what it is. So they go out and they dance some more and do this and do that and do that and hunt for something else. They're always seeking it, never finding it. Although they enjoy this, I mean, there's a lot of solical and fleshly enjoyment, but they're always searching until that spirit gets satisfied in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when that is done, you've arrived. You've found it. But now that has to be built up and expanded and built and built and built, building yourself up in the Holy Ghost. There are a number of scriptures that talk about these things. And so I want to just let you understand, this thing is a spiritual thing that's happening, and it's important to let it go into the spiritual from the solical, and till you are getting the thrill, and it's beyond what the mind can understand, the solical mind. That's what I'm saying. It's beyond what you can see, and beyond what you even can figure out afterwards. So don't try to critique it, because your solical mind won't really ever understand it. You're just going to have to just trust the Spirit. And I was in better shape at this point. Once I kind of decided just to trust the Spirit, that pressure kind of left me.
Amen.
And I was feeling better about it. Would you stand on this song, and then the service is dismissed right after this song. I would like to suggest that those who have come from the elders' retreats and you save your legs for the services, don't overdo it after service and so forth. You just kind of have to be patient a little bit and sneak up on this, or you're going to be tied up too long.